May my spoken word, like your written word, bring us ever closer to the living word, Jesus your Christ. Amen. Anybody do shopping before Christmas? Did you go to the mall? Madness. Tried to buy something at Lululemon for my daughter. Wasn't even going to go into the store. Too much. It was crazy. I have a good friend that tells a story of Christmas shopping with her little girl, or with her mother. Well, she was a little girl, 6 or 7. Busy department store, and her mother reached out and handed her a hem of her dress and said, "Please hold on to this dress. Don't let go, because I will lose you in this crowd." So the little girl reached up and grabbed the hem of this dress and knew not to let it go for anything. And as she went through the busy department store, desperately holding on to the hem of this dress, all of a sudden she hears her mother's voice calling her from far away. "Julia, Julia." And she's looking around and she spots her mother across the department store and just freezes, because she was told, "Do not let go of this dress." And eventually she sort of looks up and she realizes that that's not mom. Somehow in a busy department store, she grabbed the hem of someone else's dress and had been following her around the store for quite some time. In much the same way, I think many of us were handed an image of God and then told, "Don't let go of this. Don't let go of this, or you will be lost." However, some of us now find ourselves in the odd circumstance of hearing God call out to us in new directions, from new places, new contexts, new landscapes, and we have to figure out how to let go the hem of our mother's dress. Believe me when I tell you that the spiritual journey is more about letting go than grasping. More about opening to what God is doing with us next, rather than entrenching and protecting our beliefs or our perceived notions about who God is or where we might experience Christ. Today's gospel, I think, is a beautiful example of that reality. So the Magi see this rising star, and they are willing to trade the security of their homes and the places of familiarity to go on the road, to go to a new country, which in the ancient Near East was no small matter. I feel sure that there were other astrologers who saw the star and said, "How interesting, I'd love to go see that king, but I'm sort of comfortable here. Thanks very much. Tell me what you find." But risking the journey is only the first hurdle. Okay, the second hurdle is to let go of the image that I'm sure they had in their heads when they thought they were going to visit a king. Matthew's gospel says they were looking for the king of the Jews. And so these wise men did exactly what any reasonable person would do when they were looking for royalty. They would knock on the nicest door in town, right? They knock on the door of a king, to be certain, but it's another king whose name was Herod. And we hear in the scripture today that when Herod heard of this other king being born, he was like, whoa, what do you mean another king? No, there's only one king, and you're looking at him. If you lived in Bethlehem in Jesus' day, or in ours, really, and you look southeast about 3 kilometers away, which sounds like a long way, but the thing that you'd be looking at is so large, you'd see it from 3 kilometers away. Looks like a mountain or a volcano. It's called the Herodium. It was the palace of Herod. And Herod, actually his father, built him that palace to just remind everybody how good and glorious he was. It was, in Jesus' day, the building of that was like the Great Pyramid of Giza. And that's where the wise men first go, because they think, well, that's clearly the best apartment, the best address in town. That's got to be where the king is. And they were right, but for the wrong reason. And they knock on the door, and they ask at the castle, "Where is this child who is to be born king of the Jews?" And they traveled so far to ask that question. And here they are at the king's residence, at the castle, and they arrived with the same image that I'm afraid most of us have about who God is. Royal, untouchable, in the highest of places. They expected to find royal lodging and beautiful windows and tapestries hanging on the wall. But the king that they were looking for, not there. And so Herod calls together all the chief priests and scribes because he wants to know, where is this other king being born? Because I'm going to do something about it. And he's told at the Herodium, at the finest address in all of the land, he's told this child is to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem? Huh, check again. You know, this is not where kings are born, in a cow town down the road. No, sir. Does anything ever good come out of Judea? When the Magi set off on their journey, their image of God, like, what were they thinking? How would they know whose door to knock on? You can't Google map dear Savior's birth and get, I mean, sure, they had a star that they were following, but that's pretty vague. That's pretty vague. In order to find the king that they were looking for, they had to let go of the preconceived notions of what they would find when they got there. I am amazed that the Magi, these travelers from far away, ever found Jesus at all. When they loaded up their gifts, did they really have a sense of what they would find in the humility which is Jesus' birth? Did they know, or could they even conceive, that a king would be found in such a humble environment as that? I think not. What sort of wisdom does it take to find Jesus in such a crude place, with such humble living quarters as Bethlehem? Somehow, these figures, bringing their gold, frankincense, and myrrh, were able to come to a radically new understanding of who God was or is. We have been programmed to think that we need to look in the right places to find God. We've been programmed, I think, to not even recognize Jesus at all when Jesus is standing right in front of us. I think that there is really a terrible disconnect between the Jesus that most Americans claim to follow and the real Jesus of the Nativity, humble, laid in a feed trough for animals. And we call ourselves a Christian nation, but I came across a recent poll reported by one of my favorite authors, Bill McKibben, who writes, only 40% of American Christians can name more than four of the Ten Commandments. Okay, that's okay. We'll get to that. A scant half can cite any of the four authors of the Gospels. Well, okay, you know, how important is that, really? But then we get 12% believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. 3/4 of American Christians believe that the Bible teaches, quote, God helps those who help themselves, close quote. 75% believe that this sort of uber American idea, right, a notion that is the core of our kind of current politics and culture, this uber individualist idea, which was in fact uttered by Ben Franklin, is actually from Holy Scripture. The thing is, not only is Franklin's wisdom not from the Bible, it is not of the Bible either. I mean, it is actually counter to the Bible. I mean, the gospel message, as it is with this radical summons that we're going to hear today in our baptismal covenant, because we are baptizing some people into this way of being and seeing the world. And I hope that you will hear in the baptismal covenant the very opposite of God helps those who help themselves. That we are called to love one another as Christ, seeking Christ in all people, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Most American Christians, as if 75% of people think that Newton's apple fell upwards. It's dead opposite. The English word epiphany, we are celebrating today, the beginning of a new festival season, comes from the Greek word epiphania, which means appearing or revealing. Epiphany focuses on God's self-revelation in Christ. On this feast day, may we who claim to love and follow Christ be blessed by being challenged to let go of the notion that we have in our heads so that we might see the face of Christ in places that we might not expect it. The face of our neighbor, for instance. Because it seems that Christ, if you really want to see him, hangs out a lot with hungry people and people that don't have resources, the naked, those who experience injustice. If we are willing to let go of the God of wealth or self-preservation, maybe then we may also have an epiphany. Then and only then shall we be like the wise men, the magi, finding God in the most unusual of places and circumstances. Amen.